Last week we began that series looking at Jesus, the snake crusher. So amazing. This week I'm bringing Jesus, the light bringer. And as part of that, each week we're exploring what child is this by looking at different aspects of who Jesus is. So how is Jesus the light bringer? Jesus doesn't just arrive magically in the New Testament. What we see in the Bible is that he's actually been promised to us the whole way along. Every single Bible, Genesis through to Revelation, is telling us the story of how our coming Savior Jesus is on his way. And today we've been looking at Isaiah 9, that incredible prophecy. That prophecy is written hundreds of years before Jesus is born, and yet it's a vision of Isaiah looking ahead, telling us somebody is coming, a child is going to be born. It's predicting Jesus' birth long before ever. And this child, what is this child going to be like? Who are they going to be? What are they going to do? They are the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. They're going to put an end to war and end to chaos. Isaiah gives us this vision of God's plan through Jesus and what it will be like. And he compares it to a sunrise. And this, all of Isaiah 9, is a complete contrast to Isaiah 8. People can jump down to the bottom, you're bang on. Aren't they amazing, a tech team? They've like prepared on nothing, like, and no communication with me, all my fault, and they're doing an amazing job, so thank you for them. Isaiah 8, complete contrast with Isaiah 9. In Isaiah 8, the people are wandering around, they're talking to literally everybody else except for God. They don't know what to do, they're confused. And Isaiah describes them, so they're wandering around in the dark, like David was earlier, couldn't see where he was going, didn't know what was in front of him, but still walking forward. That's like the people in Isaiah 8, they have no idea what they're doing, and yet they're still trying to have a go. And it's a complete contrast to the light we're seeing happening in Isaiah 9. And if you go down, absolutely, thank you so much, Isaiah 8 verse 19, I won't read the whole passage because it is long, but I recommend you go back and look at it. But this is a description of what people are like. They're, when men tell you to consult mediums and spirits to whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? So the people are in distress, they're being oppressed, but instead of running to God, they're going off to everyone and anyone, the people and traditions, the people that surround them, rather than coming to their God, rather than coming to scripture, rather than listening to the voice of the God that they should be following. So the people have not been listening to God, and yet God still promises to shine in their darkness, that these people who've been wandering in the dark are going to see a great light. What an amazing promise. So in a moment, we're now going to watch two videos. I'm going to do a bit of explanation after each one. But both of these videos focus on that image of a sunrise. That dramatic image that Isaiah gives us of the difference that Jesus is going to make. And as we watch them, they're both quite short, but as we watch them, I want you to just be thinking about what are you noticing about the sunrise? What difference does the sunrise make?
The sunrise of 2024 to a new day. This is my first time experiencing It's amazing, and it's absolutely incredible.
It's everything come alive this way when you look at it. You look forward to better days.
You need to see where the sun sets in this space, because there are lots of open space, so you can actually see sunrise and sunset. It's beautiful.
And when these guys have a son, they're having a very big party. They celebrate. They're ready for it. They're expected. They hold on to that memory from last year. And they say, multiple people in that video talked about how light gives them hope. But it is a choice. The days are so short. You actually saw the sped up version of that video. The days are so short, if you're not on it in a new bit, you could miss it. And that's why they have a festival. Because the day is so short, the sun rise and set in a couple of hours. So you have to be attentive, you have to be expectant. And that's how they developed that festival. When Jesus came, lots of different people missed it. Lots of different people were looking in the wrong direction. We can easily miss this if we're not expectant. We can easily choose the darkness over celebration. And if you're in a new move as well, you've developed lots of techniques for living in the dark because you've had to get around for the last month. And if you wanted to, you might just carry on with those techniques. What's the point in stopping for a few hours to look at the sunlight? We'll just get on with the other things. All of us can do that, can't we? We can get around without Jesus. We can find our techniques, we can find our systems for not looking at the light. But we have an alternative. We can choose to celebrate and live in the light. Okay, we're going to see another video now. It's a very famous one, you probably already know what it is. Don't sing the song, that's the challenge. It's so painful for it to stop there, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I had to choose that really specifically. But in that video, absolutely you look at Star of the Lion King, I think everybody does, but it's that hope sunrise is going to happen, and when it does, all of creation is going to respond. The whole of creation starts coming to life when it sees the sunrise. It's unifying. It unites every single different creature. So many different creatures shown in that video, so many different types of life, but we all have this reaction when we see a sunrise. And without the sun, there is no life. That's obviously a picture of Kilimanjaro again. Oh, I really want to go jump. I see that. Jeremy's arrived from Penn's neighbour. Hey! So he's left that, he's come to the winter. Welcome, Jeremy. Thank you for your sacrifice. But what, you know, beauty and creation and life happens in the light. When we don't have the light, we get polar regions, we get tundras, we get nothing happening, no creation. That's the difference the sun makes. And it reveals things as they really are. That sunrise coming up and you see the tree. It reveals things the way they really are. So this is Jesus. This is who he is. This is what he does. He brings life. He's unmistakable. You can't miss him. He brings hope. He reveals things the way they really are. But it is possible to miss him just like the sunrise. And do we really believe that that's what he wants to bring us? That's the challenge. Do we really believe that Jesus wants to bring that same contrast to our lives, going from darkness to light? That's what he wants to do. Are we looking in the right direction, like those people in a new bit, prepared, ready for the festival to welcome the sunlight? Or are we distracted, like people in Isaiah 8, looking to everybody else, looking to solve our problems in a thousand different ways other than Jesus? Perhaps, like people in the new bit, we've gotten used to living in the shadows. We actually know how to do that quite well. It's actually more comfortable to do that than to try and hope that there is going to be some kind of a sunrise coming. Hope's a dangerous thing. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Shawshank Redemption, but in Shawshank Redemption they say hope's a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man mad. It's very difficult to hope when you've been living in the dark. Maybe we've got used to the shadows. Or maybe we just don't want to see what the light's going to reveal. Maybe we'd rather hide from the light. Maybe we don't want to see things it might reveal about the way we've been living. Or how our future might look in the light. Amazingly, the church has developed a system for this waiting in the dark and waiting for Jesus, and it's called Advent. Waiting for the arrival of Jesus, and that's what we're doing in this season. How can we use Advent as a time to get ready, to focus ourselves, and to receive Jesus as our true light, our true hope? Well, a couple of ideas. Are we looking in the right direction? Let's spend time in this Advent really focusing on what the Bible tells us about who Jesus is. And when, you know, I said it's hard to hope when you've been living in the dark, it's a real thing. It is hard to hope, it's hard to believe that Jesus is good when we haven't been living in a season that's like that. So how do we do it? We spend time in the Bible, and I would recommend maybe we even take Isaiah 9's memory verse. We'd sit with that every day, maybe just for a few minutes every day. I'm going to use the analogy of sunbathing. I'm not quite sure of this analogy, but I'm using it for the moment. But it takes, you don't actually have to do anything when you're saying sunbathing. All you have to do is just be there and be in the light. So if you're here and you're like, yeah, hope is hard. I don't know Jesus as the hope. I don't know Jesus as the light. You don't have to manufacture that on your own. All you have to do is look in the right direction and sit in the light. That's it. So this Advent, why not sit with Isaiah 9 for a few minutes every day, sunbathe with that, and see what happens as we wait for Advent. Expectant. Are we expectant that God wants to move in your life, that he wants to bring that dramatic change, light to shadow, dark to light? Pray with God about that. Sit with him. If the answer is no, take that to him. Say, Jesus, I want to believe that you want to shine Maybe you need to step out of the shadows. Do I need to stop and see something that God is revealing in the light? That's a hard one too. Am I afraid of what God's light might mean for my life or my future? Take that to Him. Say, God, I'm afraid. God, help me step out of the shadows. And then I'm going to be cheeky and cheeky-facing again, because we're going to look in the right direction again with worship. Give God your attention. Even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't want to, choose to live in the right direction. Worship. Give Him your attention this season. Sunbathe. Like a plant that's growing in the dark. Just spend some time in the light this season. It may not feel like anything is changing, but slowly plants grow when they're in the light. So, this, as part of our service, we're about to be taking communion in a few minutes' time. And that is another tradition that we have as the church, to focus our eyes on Jesus, to remember that He is the one who sacrificed everything for us. Let's do that, but just for a moment, I'm actually going to hold a few minutes of silence and just encourage us to just bow our heads and close our eyes and just think. I don't know about you, but in this season, I'm constantly on my phone sorting something out, moving things around, getting a calendar sorted. The hubby is exceptional in this season, so I'm going to give a gift to you. I'm going to give you a few minutes of silence, wonderful silence, where you don't have to be on your phone or sort anything. And the only thing I want you to do is just think about one moment in your day, or it could even be your week, one moment where you can spend 5 minutes just sitting in the light of Jesus, and that's it. So I'm just going to hold that space for you. Please do bow your heads, close your eyes, so you've just got a bit of privacy, a bit of space. Nobody's expecting anything of you. When can you spend time in the light? Stay in that space with your eyes closed, head bowed, and I'm just going to pray for us as we close. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for this gift of prophecy, that you are going to be our great light. You are going to come and be wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. Holy Spirit, would you help us to believe that is true, to sit in your light, and to get ready this Advent for the coming of Jesus, our great light. Amen.